Well, if you find your place in Psalm 26, we're going to start there and see how far we get tonight. Pastor Allen said I can't run over tonight, or he'll beat me up. So, hey, how about this church? Is it looking good or what?
Yeah.
Got those chairs in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking good.
Yeah.
That's right. So, praise the Lord. We had an inspection today, fire life safety, which can be a real booger to get through sometimes. And the Lord was faithful as all of you prayed. So, yeah, amen. And I was so proud of our pastor. You know, he's a lot of times he's full of grace and can be passive. You know, he's such a loving guy. Unlike me, he is so loving and kind, and we're going to talk about loving kindness, but they brought the wrong carpet the other day, and he said, we're not putting that on the stage, and so he said, he was a little fired up. I saw a little fire in his eye. He was like, messing with my church. So, yeah, so it was cool to see that. So, well, find your places. Psalm 26, we're going to title this one, if you have your note pen out, Finding Spiritual Maturity. I'm still looking for that, but hopefully this psalm's going to help me do that. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Psalm 26, Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we do lift up our voice. We cry out to you. We seek your face, dear Lord. We seek your ways. May we be more like you, dear Lord. May I be more like you, such a flawed individual that I am, dear Lord. May you use this vessel. May you use me to preach your word, to teach your word, and to give your love, dear Lord, and to teach your principles. And may we grasp onto them. May there be something that is said through your word tonight that changes somebody's life, that changes the way they look at things, it changes the way that they look at you, Lord. And so I thank you for the inspection today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this fellowship of people, this congregation of loving, kind people. And I just ask that you would bless them, bless this stuff. In Jesus' name, amen. So, finding spiritual maturity. So, this Psalm 26 could have been written during the famine when Jerusalem and when Israel was in a famine. That's what a lot of the theologians say that this was written. So, it's interesting that actually the famine, as I looked up, was caused from Saul, and that they were paying for the missteps of Saul all the way now in this famine. And so a lot of theologians believe that, and that this famine right now that David was going through and asking for vindication and examining me and examining, and I think we all need to look at that, was from sin that Saul had left over in this camp. So, verse 1, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. You know, integrity is a valuable and precious thing, but it's a rare commodity today. Donovan and I were on the phone earlier today, and pops up four mega church leaders convicted of fraud, you know. And it's like, man, we're sitting here talking about, you know, about the Lord. And, you know, it's one, you know, I got like five highlights that come up, news articles on my TV as you know, I guess it's on sleep mode or whatever, I don't even know. But just these things pop up. And, you know, this guy went to the hospital, this guy did this, and mega church leader convicted of fraud, you know. And it's a rare commodity, integrity. I'm finding more and more of it in this church as I have brothers that I get to hang out with. at the men's conference as I speak with the guys that I'm privileged to be discipling. I see integrity in this church, but I'm telling you, it's a rare commodity in this world today, and we need to hold on to it. And if I was writing this psalm, I would have said, "For I have walked in your integrity, Lord." My integrity, you know, man, if I can get a buck or whatever, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, is this coupon good? Matter of fact, I got it in my back pocket. Is this coupon good? You know, you guys think I'm not real. Here it is. you know, and so it's that integrity that we need to hold on to. It's the integrity of the Lord. And we need to not tarnish his name. And that's where we need to be. And that's, I think, where David was. So a valuable and precious thing, but it's rare these days. Verse 2, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Well, there's no cheating on this test. When you ask the Lord to prove you and to examine you, it's kind of like asking for patience, right? You better get ready. You're going to have some trial. So God sees all of our actions. I ask you, did you guys ever take tests in school? You know, did you enjoy those exams that you had in high school and in college, right? Who in here enjoyed those exams? I used to hate them, you know. I'm not the most studious guy and definitely not the smartest one. So important that we know that the Lord sees all of us and that he sees all of our actions. But let me tell you, exams and tests come in all different forms. You know, I would say this building has been a big test for our pastor, and he's passed with flying colors. You know, Craig work and Jim work, and we had Tom, who comes on Sundays. His wife was here working yesterday, you know, and just working with contractors and all that type of stuff. You know, I'm glad that it's Alan. And that Pastor Allen, and that he has that temperament that he can deal with people like that. You know, I probably would have gave up a long time ago. But those tests come in many different forms. You don't know what's around the corner. You know, I think of Brian and Lynn, and Brian, you know, going to the doctor today, had an infection and has to be on antibiotics. You know, that's a real test. You know, that those are tests that. You know, that are difficult sometimes to pass and to have our confidence in the Lord. But David had his confidence in the Lord, and I see a lot of people here with their confidence in the Lord. And so it may come in the form of your son asking you to play when you're watching your favorite TV program, you know. My wife's always trying to get me to have fun with Timmy and try to take him out and do things, you know. And with our busy lives, and I can't believe I'm retired, but it seems like I'm busier than when I was working, you know, full time. So it's important that, you know, that exam may be just your son asking you to play or your daughter asking you to come watch a dance or, you know. And my man Victor over here leaves the men's retreat. We were having a great time, a lot of fun, great teaching, pretty good food. And, you know, he leaves in the middle of it so he can go watch his daughter's dance, you know. And so I'm proud of the people that I'm around. And brothers like that give me our great study guide to play off of and to watch. And to because just like I just saw little Sarah, I was just so moved by her as she was watching Mr. Mike worship, and she was like, and he's got his hands out, and she's just looking at him, and she's just so in awe, like, man, he's really worshiping. You could just see it in her little smile, you know, that she saw him worshiping the Lord. And and so to have these kids in the sanctuary seeing that is invaluable, because they're catching it. You know, more is caught than taught sometimes. And so verse 3, Psalm 26, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Why does God allow suffering? You know, that's a common question that we get, right? From, you know, from the seasoned, mature saint all the way down to the non-believer, right? Or the pre-believer, I like to call him. Why does God allow suffering, cancer, car accidents, a renter to tear up a house? What good comes out of that suffering? What good comes out of that suffering? You know, and I mentioned the renter tearing up the house. I think we're about $12,000 in now fixing up that house. And, 735 holes in the walls inside the house. That's right, 735. But the Lord, yeah, I paid a guy 10 bucks an hour to count those holes. That was part of the 12,000. But you know what? A lady that came and was taking some of the stuff that was outside in boxes, she came, and she had a 17-year-old girl that had a 3-month-old baby, and she just happened to have a 3-month-old little baby boy. I had thousands of dollars of baby clothes sitting inside the house, just happened to be boys' clothes, you know, from zero all the way up to like 3 or 4 years old. And so I said, come inside here, grab some of this. They took about 10, maybe 12 bags. But I met this guy, Derek, because they couldn't lift the bags. And I didn't really want to get so involved. I was trying to keep my distance because here I am alone at this house with two women. And so they called over this guy, Derek, who is a relative of theirs. And now Derek is working with me on housing on that house and building the tree house and doing some other stuff, you know. And he's been to our fellowship and, you know, hopefully, I see him seeking the Lord. And so I get to disciple. So that $12,000, you know, the Lord gave me a purpose for it. He said, you ministered to this lady. You ministered to this 17-year-old girl that didn't abort her child but had her child and is taking care of this little baby boy named Charlie. You know, and so that $12,000, it's well spent if these people get saved, if they give their life to the Lord, if we can disciple them as they come to our fellowship. And so we can't look at the money, we look at the result. And so I find good in these situations. I look for good in these situations. Verse 3 talks about loving kindness. Isaiah 49:16 says, God loves you so much that he engraved your name on the palms of his hands. That's loving kindness. That's loving kindness. I don't always have it. I'm a little sharp. I'm a little harsh. I'm a little more truth. I'm like 95% truth and 5% grace, you know. I got to work on that. Pastor Allen's helping me. But Matthew 10:30 says, he loves you so much that he knows how many hairs are on your head. Some of us, a few more. Some of us, a few less. Psalm 56:8 says, he loves you so much that he saves your tears in a bottle. Can you imagine that? He saves our tears in a bottle. And when we get to heaven, he'll probably say, here, I cried over each one. He'll probably give us two bottles. Probably give us one with ours, and he'll probably give us one with his. Because he loves us so much that it anguishes him to see us hurt. Jeremiah 31:3 says, he loves you with an everlasting love. And there's no better love than his loving kindness. Verse 4 and 5, I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Do you sit with the wicked? Do you sit with wicked people? Can we find good out of those people? Can we find a reason? Can we bring light to those people? You may say, nah, I don't sit with wicked people. Well, if I looked up your Redbox account or your Netflix account, or if my man Thomas back there checked the memory on your computer and looked at your hard drive, where would it say that you've been? Where would it say you've been? So we have to be careful because the Lord sees all. And really, prove me, examine me. We should be asking ourselves that all the time. prove me, examine me. Am I doing a good job as a husband? Am I doing a good job as a father? You know, I know I could be doing better. You know, I have weaknesses, and time is one of them. And, you know, being intentional. So it's important. I see guys that are out on a Tuesday night at a Trail Life meeting. You know, I see guys coming back from conferences. I see guys, you know, doing WWE on the internet with their kid and on YouTube, you know, and having fun. And that's good. You know, I see DJ at the, what's it called? Air Force?
ROTC.
You know, I see dad giving him pointers, shining those shoes. This is how you do it, son. You know, and he goes in there and he shines because dad is taking the time to work with him. If you attracted, if you're attracted to evil people, I got a prescription for you. We can get Rod to write you one. It's more Jesus. You need more Jesus. You know, we need more Jesus if you're attracted to evil people. In my younger days, I was attracted to evil people. When people would get caught with drugs or I knew they were dealing drugs, I would go hang out with them. I would try to get influence with them. I would go with them. I would try to find them and seek them out. Today, I try to seek out godly men. I try to seek out guys that are going to elevate my game as my game with the Lord. And so, you know, the men's conference was a perfect example of that. You know, just a great time. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. Verse 6, 7, and 8, I will wash my hands in innocence, so I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. David had plenty to repent from, and we should too. I know, I'll speak for myself, I have plenty to repent from. And it's important that prescription that we write has 1 John 1:9 in it. You know, that he is faithful and just. If we will repent, if we'll confess our sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And we need to have a short leash on our sin. And so it's important that we know those verses, have those, it is written in our dictionary and in our heart, in our mind, and at the tip of our tongue. Because we need to wash those sins away. We need to be in communion with him. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that, about being in communion. And that's why I'm proud of this church and the leadership is that, you know, communion every month, you know, because we need to get right before the Lord. And that's another time that you examine yourself, it talks about with communion, so that you can have that intimate union with him and that we can see his face and seek him. Verse 6, we should bring all of our cares to the altar. Talks about David coming to the house, and we need to bring him to the altar. You know, in the Old Testament, here where we're at, they would bring their sacrifice, you know, the best that they had, and the blood would flow, and the burnt offering would happen, and it was a real sacrifice. And we should do the same today with our time, with our talents, and with our treasure. Verse 6, we should speak of our thankfulness and tell of all the glorious works that the Lord has done. This church, you people, is a perfect example of glorious works. Derek, the kid that I'm working with, Micah, the other young man from this fellowship that I got to work with, Dean, you know, another kid that I got to work with over the last month and a half with the, you know, doing this work on these houses, you know, tell the glorious works. Tell of, you know, when people have praise reports. Man, we need to shout it from the rooftops because there's so much, like, you know, like I see on TV today with those convicted of fraud. You know, we need to tell of all the wondrous works that the Lord does in our lives, in your lives, in our kids' lives. You know, Timmy, a lot of you see his little new necktie that he has around his neck. It's not a tattoo. you know, and but I tell the wondrous works because the Lord saved the kid, you know. Probably should have snapped his neck and broke his neck right there. Matter of fact, Derek was on the ladder with Timmy, and you should have seen, he almost vomited, man. I mean, when Timmy, when it snapped his neck and he ran into the ladder with a violence, and I was above him, I looked at Derek, and Derek was like, you know, I mean, he, the kid was shaking. You know, I was afraid he was going to fall off the ladder now, you know. And but it's the wondrous works, you know. As I come down off that ladder, I think I hit a couple rungs on the way down. You know, I, you know, Timmy, are you okay? And I pray with him, and I praise God for sparing my kid, you know, for sparing him, and that he didn't have any permanent damage from that, you know, and that it didn't snap his neck right there. Because I've been to that. I've been to the garage of a mom's home, to a teenager's home, that you know, put the thing around the rafter and hung himself right there, you know, and fell less, you know, just fell off of a chair, you know, kicked a chair out and killed himself right there. You know, Timmy fell from, you know, 8-10 feet. So, you know, that's the glorious works of the Lord. I have nothing to do with all that. Yeah, you know what? It says we speak of thankfulness and tell in verse 7. I want you to look at that. I want you to look at the Greek, that word for all in the Greek, in the Hebrew, you know what it means? All. Yeah. We should speak of all his glorious works. Verse 8, the house of the Lord should be, if you're taking notes, should be four things. The house should be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. It should be a safe place and a sanctuary. Why do you think we call it a sanctuary? Hey, that's our sanctuary. Because it's a safe place. It's a place we can come. We can tell of our tragedy. We can tell of our hardships. We can tell of where we've slipped up or fell down. And we can have a brother or a sister help us back up. It's a place where we can be safe. You know, at another church, another mega church that I used to go to, pastors and people in leadership, they wouldn't even go for marriage counseling at that church because they were nervous. They didn't want anybody knowing their business. They were afraid if they went for marriage counseling at that church that they would lose their job or be thrown out or be looked at. You know, they were so scared. To me, that's not a sanctuary. That's not a safe place. That, you know, we need to be able to come to our pastor, come to brothers and sisters in the fellowship and speak to them. You know, hey, man, this is tough go. This marriage thing, this tough, this kid thing, this is tough stuff, man. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And so we need to be able to do that. Three, should be a place where we can bear all so that healing can take place. Four, should be, number four, should be a place, church should be a place where we can get the truth in love. And I'm still working on that love part. I got his truth that I can give you. I just got to work on the love part, which I am trying. 9 and 10, verses 9 and 10, Psalm 26. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. We'll skip right on past that. You know, we need to be careful who we're with. 11 and 12. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Lord, I would say I walk in your integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands on even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. And in this congregation, we bless the Lord. We can stand on the rock. We can stand on firm ground because the Lord gives us that. Because the Lord makes us. When our world's falling apart, his foundation will be firm and will go nowhere. So we need to stay with him. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Finding strength in the Lord in the dark times. This is from 2 Samuel. Many Jewish rabbis and theologians believe that this is from 2 Samuel 21. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Or whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? Salvation brings us into the light and out of the darkness. And we need to know that. Can you remember when you got saved? Do you remember? Some of us, it was not too long ago. But others, it was pretty far back. You know, I've been a Christian for quite a few years now. And to remember that day, to remember coming out of those airline seats and walking up to the front of that sanctuary and giving my life to the Lord and the tears flowing. You know, we got to go back and remember that. We got to go back to where we were and remember what the Lord's done in us. And we need to keep that in mind. Just like we need to go back and think about our brides or our husbands and how much we loved them at first, you know, and how much we love them now. And that we need to continue to do that. You know, we need to continue to be playful. We need to continue to joke and play and have fun and have those serious talks and sit and remember our love for our God and for our wives. Some of us, it's the same. courage and strength are gained through the security of our salvation in the Lord. You can't lose it. Once saved, always saved. Courage and strength are gained from the security of salvation in the Lord. We don't need to worry. You know, He'll work it out, and we can know that. My own strength, I'm weak. I'm weak compared to even Big Rod over here. I was at a thing with him last night, and he was getting ready to do some pull-ups. You know, he probably could have busted out about 20 of them, but he was just stretching. But, you know, you look at a guy like that and his muscles, Thomas got muscles bulging out everywhere, you know. And then you look at Alan and, you know, So my strength compared to some of you is a smidget, you know. But compared to the Lord, man, He is mighty. He is strong. And He can lift us up. If it is the Lord's strength, I can rest assured that, number one, I won't get wore out. Number two, that it'll be His power that I'm working from. And number three is I don't have to take it personally. You know, if you don't like me, you know, I don't have to take it personally. You know, I can try to improve and do better things, but listen, I'm just trying to follow the Lord and I'm trying to follow the plan that He has for my life. And so if you don't like me, I will try to do better, but I'm just trying to follow the Lord. And so we can rest in that. We can have firm footing. We don't have to, you know, try to please men. You know, that was one of the main themes I would say at this men's conference was please God, not men. You know, please God, not men. Verses 2 and 3, when the wicked came against me to eat my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. David didn't waver, man. You know, he had a lot of missteps, misguided steps and sin in his life. But man, he was a warrior. And he was a little older at this time. He wasn't so spry, and we're going to see some more where he wasn't so spry. And so he had to trust in the Lord, that the Lord would deliver him, not his physical strength. Because when he was a shepherd in the field, he could take on those lions and bear and all that type of stuff, and he could take on Goliath. Now he's getting a little bit older here in Psalm 27, and we got to rely on the Lord. And I recognize that. You know, I don't jump quite as high. I can't run quite as fast. I can't lift as much as I used to. So I really have to depend on the Lord more now. And so it's important that we do that. It's important that we give Him our lives. And if we learn that even at a younger age, it'll save us a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. Fear paralyzes us and may make us have the inability to do what we need to do when we need to do it. If you're fearful and you're afraid to make mistakes, or you're afraid that the Lord won't bless this or that, you know, seek Him and then move on and do what He's told you to do. Fear will also stop you from witnessing. Pastor Allen talks about this. Mike talks about this. You know, fear will stop you from witnessing. And so we need to not be fearful, you know. to tell a friend even something that is maybe in his life. You know, there's a guy that I need to confront, not in this fellowship, but another Christian guy that I need to confront. You know, he's not doing what he needs to be doing, you know, and so, but it's hard. You know, you're going to ruffle feathers. You're going to hurt feelings maybe. You know, he may receive it. He may punch me right in the mouth, you know. So we'll find out, you know. So verse 4 through 8. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of in his temple. There's nothing better than being in the house of the Lord around the people of the Lord. Man, it doesn't get any sweeter. The worship team just going, the men's conference, you know, there's a couple hundred guys. I don't know how many guys were there, 150 guys, you know, just worshiping, just listening. You know, I didn't even want to hear my own voice, man. I was just quiet, just listening, you know. And I'm sure the woman's retreat was just like that, you know, worshiping here, you know, it just, man, just let me hear it, Lord. Let me be in your house. There's nothing better. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. You know, I thought of Moses here. You know, in the cleft of the rock that he protected on Mount Sinai, the Lord protected him, you know, and if there is trouble, when there is trouble, you know, it says here, for in the time of trouble, there will be trouble. You will have trouble in your life. There will be difficulty. There are going to be trials. There are going to be tragedies. So it's not if, it's when. And so we need to know that. And we need to run to him like David was running. Something else that I wanted to point out here. Look how many times David talked about he, God, he, God, he, God. You know, he's my rock. He's my pavilion. He's this in his tabernacle. He hides me. It's not about us, guys. It's about him. It's about hiding in the Lord. It's about being, you know, there's that story. There's a huge fire at this factory where they process eggs and where chickens are there. And the farmer's just devastated. All of his chicken coops are gone, man. They're just burnt. And he's so frustrated. He's so mad. He's so distraught. He's walking through and there's all these dead chickens and he kicks this one dead chicken and from underneath of it run two baby chicks. They were under their mom's wings. You know, they were protected from the fire because they were under the mom's wings. The mom took the death for them, took the fire and took care of those two baby chicks. And that's how we need to think about the Lord. We need to hide in him. When it gets hot, let's hide in him. When it gets cold, let's get closer to him. And so important. Verses 6 through 9. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices as joys in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Hear, have mercy upon me and answer me, Lord. When you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God, my salvation. David just pouring out his heart. Obedience is refreshing. And it says in Deuteronomy that obedience receives blessings. If you want blessings in your life, I'll stick with the prescription. If you want a prescription for blessings in your life, be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient. Don't pop pills, pop pages of the Lord's book. You know? 10, when my father, verse 10, Psalm 27, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. You know, I remember sitting there many a time with those foster kids waiting for their parents to come. You know, and you sit and you sit, and they're supposed to be there at 6, and it's 6:15. Like, well, they'll be here. Don't worry. Bus is just late, or maybe they had a car problem. They maybe worked late, you know, 6:20, 6:25, you know. You know, you see these kids, man, they're so excited. They want to see their mom and dad. They haven't seen them for weeks. And, you know, and sometimes they would show up, and, man, they'd be excited, you know. But sometimes they didn't show up. Sometimes the parent didn't come. When my mom and dad forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. I use that verse more than once because I had nothing else to give them. Nothing else, because I wasn't the one they were looking for. I could give them the Lord, and that was about it. I could give them this verse and tell them he loves you and that he'll be with you. You may not be able to count on your mom and dad, but you'll count on him, and he will take care of you. Know it. Remember it. Verse 11. Let's read 11 through 13. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and breathe out violence. I would have lost heart. You see that in verse 13? I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, you may lose heart in people sometimes. They may disappoint you. But don't lose heart in the Lord. Don't grow weary of doing good. You know, don't let it. Faith is trusting God for the now. Hope is the future things in the certainty of coming good. So faith is trusting God for the now. Hope is the future things. It is certain of the coming good of the Lord. And faith is the root. Hope is the fruit. Faith is the root, and hope is the fruit that we see from that faith. 14, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't grow weary. Let him strengthen your heart. You got a lot of things going on in your life. Depression, aches, pains, you know, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Turn towards the Lord. Turn towards the people of the Lord. Turn towards his sanctuary. And don't worry about what people say against you. You know, they were against David here. They were trying to kill him. Don't worry about it. You just keep going. And be careful when you assume, you know, you say, this person didn't make it to church, or this person, you know, doesn't look that godly to me. We need to make sure we know what people are about before we assume what they're about. Because if we do anything different, if we do anything before that, if we assume... I was doing baptism one time, and I just gotten off a 24-hour shift, left there at 8 o'clock, trying to get down to the beach from Sunrise out west, Sunrise in the city of Sunrise, all the way to Atlantic and A1A. And I had changed clothes before shift was even over, got my beach attire on, got my Christian t-shirt on. You know, I was up 4 or 5 hours out of the night. You know, we ran 3, 4, or 5 calls, up all night. You know, but I wanted to go, man. That was one of my favorite things, to do beach baptism and go down there and pray and hear stories of people's lives that have been changed. And I broke all the speeding laws on the way down there. I get there, and one of the head guys said, "Man, wait, you couldn't make it on time? What's your deal? You come here to pray with people, and you can't even make it on time?" I was like, "Sorry, I'm late, man. Where do you want me?" You know, I wanted to grab him, but I probably didn't have enough strength. I was a little too tired that morning, you know. But as Chuck would say, Chuck would always say, judge somebody. If you judge somebody and you judge them wrong, you're the one in sin. You're the one in sin. just throwing it out there. Psalm 28. Let's keep going. At this time, Goliath, or in remembrance, I named this one Psalm 28, Finding the Lord in Prayer. Man, do we need to do this, right? Verse 1, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. You hear David's emotion in these Psalms? You know, he's back and forth, back and forth. You know, it's like us. It's like me, you know. One day I'm like, oh yeah, man, the Lord's got my back. And the next day I'm like, man, I wish the Lord had my back. You know, it's like, you know, we sometimes are tossed to and fro. Our emotions are, you know, can be all over the place. And so, you know, don't feel bad. Turn towards his word. Turn towards these Psalms. You know, let the Lord go to prayer. You know, be at prayer here on Sundays. I'm trying to make it, and I still can't make it half the time. But, you know, the enemy doesn't want you at prayer. I was on my way here the other day, and my wife was calling me, oh, we're trying to finish this paper. And, you know, the enemy wants to stop us, you know. And my wife's not the enemy. It's the devil. You know, it's the devil. You know, we're heading out the door. Timmy, let's go. And we're going, you know, just so many obstacles. And, you know, I had to turn around and come back home. It was already 6 o'clock. I was like, oh, man, I'm late again. So it's the enemy. But to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. You hear that emotion? You hear that, you know, my supplication. I will cry. I will lift up my hands. You know, I can see him just prostrate, you know, just, Lord, please answer my prayer. Verse 3, do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity who speak peace to their neighbors. Now listen. Who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Give them according, yeah, I said that already. Give them to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. This is the principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow gossip and talking about people, you'll reap it, you know? And so we have to be careful that we cannot get away from that principle of the Lord of sowing and reaping. So I asked myself, what's in my heart? Who do I speak bad of? Who do I speak good of my neighbor? You know, do I even know my neighbor? Have I told him about the Lord? In verse 5, look at that. What does the Lord do to those who tear down others? What does the Lord do? It says here, because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he will destroy them. And not build them up. What are we supposed to do for each other? Right? Building 429. I think there's a band out there called that. Building 429. Ephesians 429, which that band is named after, is to build up people. Is to talk good about them. To tell them of the wondrous works of what they're doing and what the Lord is doing in them and through them. Verse 6, Psalm 28. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. Answered prayer, right? The Lord is my strength and my shield. See how David turns as he prays? My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Notice verses 6 and 7. Answered prayers, right? What do we gain from answered prayer? Faith, strength, God's power, protection, shield, you know. So we gain all those from prayer, especially from answered prayer, because we gain faith through that, and we need not lose heart. I don't know how long it's you've been praying for a person that comes to your mind right now. I don't know how long you've been praying for them to have that prayer answered. You know, I don't know how long David had been praying. I don't know how long he prayed for his sons. You know, I don't know how much he prayed for Solomon. But I bet you he prayed for Solomon a lot more than he did Absalom and the other, you know, and Tamar and the other, I can't think of his name, Adonai or what's his name? Yeah. So, but don't, you know, I don't know how long you've been praying for a healing. You know, as I think about Lynn and think about other people, I don't know how long you've been praying about a job, about your marriage, about maybe having a baby. You know, I've been praying for a guy for a couple years that him and his wife would be able to have a baby. But don't lose heart. Keep praying, because you hear the rejoicing of David when his prayer was answered. And so we need to take heed in that. We need to take heart in that. What should our reaction be to answered prayer? Last half of verse 7, rejoice, praise, and a song to our Lord. Right? Rejoicing, praise, and a song to our Lord. And then we should go out and tell of his wondrous works, as the last psalm talked about. Then look where David turns his attention. In verses 8 and 9, David is inward in 6, 7, 8 and 9. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Verse 9, David knew about being a shepherd, and David knew what it took to watch after the sheep. And so David says he turns the prayer from himself to others. Lord, watch over my people. Watch my kingdom. I'm a good king, but you're a great king. You are the King of Kings, and you will watch over my people. You will lead them. You will give them an inheritance. You will shepherd them. You will bear them up. You know, Pastor Allen does such a good job with that. It's not about him. You know, I haven't been able to find his picture on the website yet. You know, you go to some of these websites and the guy's website, you know, has nothing but him. You know, can't even find a verse on there, but it's got his picture. You know, and so, you know, it's not about, that's what I love about this. It's not about anybody here. It's about the Lord. And so we need to remember that. So David speaks of an inheritance that is in the future. Then he speaks of the shepherd, of shepherding them, teaching them, discipling them. What a blessing it is to be able to disciple guys, to be able to talk on the phone and to get together and to hang out at the men's conference. You know, we had a good time, a lot of laughs, and it was a good time. And even Mike had a horrendous time on the way there. A guy was, I think he drove like 350 miles and never found the place. Yeah. But Mike was like, you know what? It's raining lemons right now. I'm going to make lemonade. He came back. He told me, I asked him, because we all were like, Mike, we'll come get you. Where you at? I don't know. I'm going back. You know, so he came, just drove back home. He was right probably within 5 miles of being there. But we got to buy you a GPS for Christmas. But, you know, here he didn't get mad. He wasn't all frustrated. He was like, you know, listen, I'm going to go home and I'm going to praise the Lord. And he told me about his Saturday morning that he was able to praise the Lord and able to get on Spanish TV and with English subtitles and able to praise the Lord right there, you know. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, listen to a guy that, you know, should have been with us and could have been at a men's conference. But he says, nah, you know, $100, who cares? You know, let me worship the Lord. Let me, no matter what my circumstance, let me worship the Lord. And so, you know, bear them up. Give them strength. All right, we're going to run through this one quick. 29. I know Pastor Allen's going, you are crazy. Finding glory in the storm. Give unto the Lord, Psalm 29, verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord. And listen, this church shouldn't be here. This church, we shouldn't own a building. We're babies in this thing, man. I've seen people, I saw a Calvary, $16,000 a month in rent. I was a real estate agent, and I was trying to help them find a building. I won't tell you which Calvary it was, but, you know, I sat with the pastor, and he had a noose around his neck. It's called $16,000 a month, and that's what their rent was for the building that they were in. And they couldn't buy a building, and they never did buy a building. And so to do that already, the Lord's favors on this church, and the Lord's favors on this church because you guys give. You give of your time, you give of your talents, and you give of your treasure. This stuff don't, you know, we don't buy seats with air. We buy seats with money, you know, and we buy it with your money that you give. And you give it to the Lord. And so this place is about to come to fruition, you know, and this is a testimony. This is a glorious work of what you guys have done and how you have given to the Lord. This is a testimony. This is sacrificial giving that you guys have done. And it gives glory and strength to us that are here. It should give us glory and strength. And it should give the Lord glory, man. It should give the Lord huge. And I can't wait to see what we do next. I can't wait to see what the Lord does through this little fellowship. I mean, look at this. How many people are here? And we have a church building, and we're on the cusp of moving in. So, you know, praise God. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Holiness. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. This is Proverbs 18:10. And here's three little things about the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into and are raised above. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is the full content of his character. The name of the Lord is an embodiment or an incarnate of his work. The name of the Lord is an embodiment of his purpose or an incarnation of his purpose. We should not ever tire of his name. You know, and I was going to go, but I can't go through all the names. You know, El Shaddai and all those different names that the Lord has. And each one has a different meaning of what his character, about his character, about what he does, the God of healing, the God of this, you know. And so we won't go through it because Pastor Allen's going to kill me. Verse 3, 8:21. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over my many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Anybody have a dog in here? Anybody have a dog that gets afraid when it thunders? I see a lot of dogs. They run under the bed or they get right up next to you and they're shaking and they're scared. I'm afraid of lightning. And a few years back, we were in Italy, in Europe, and going from country to country. And our tour, we stopped, and everybody piled out of the bus. And I'm looking, and I see these dark clouds rolling in, and there's thunder, and there's lightning. And I'm like, I ain't getting out of this bus. You guys take that picture. I could care less. I ain't getting out of it because I'm afraid of lightning. So if you ever ask me to do anything, and it's lightning, I'm getting inside. So, but the glorious works of the Lord, you know, he made nature, and thunder and lightning are part of his nature. And so this is a psalm of, you know, is a psalm of his creation and a psalm of his glorious power. Notice the voice. We need to hear his voice. And we may not hear it audibly, but we need to hear it in our hearts and in our heads. And we need to look and listen for his voice, guys and girl. The voice of the Lord, verse 5, breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. In Kadesh, you'll see those cedars are broken, that lightning has hit them and caught fire, and that they're split in two. You ever seen a tree hit by lightning and split right down the middle? Sometimes it'll have a burn mark all the way down. And that tree has no leaves on it because it's dead. The voice of the Lord is powerful. Matthew 18, that makes me think of Matthew 18, 5 and 6, where they came to arrest the Lord, Jesus Christ, in the garden. And he kissed them, Judas kissed him. Thank you. Judas kissed him on the cheek. And then Peter tried to use a sword, and the Lord just spoke a word. And what happened? They fell backwards on the ground. A whole battalion of men, soldiers with swords, fell backwards just from the power of his voice. You want his voice on your side. You want to hear his voice, and it's powerful, and it can shake anything. So we need to be shaken up by the Lord's voice. 6 and 7, he makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And his temple, and in his temple, everyone says glory. You ever been at a waterfall and you ever been maybe just at a pool, like at one of those fancy resorts where the waterfall and you can go behind there? You know, we were just in North Carolina a couple months ago, and you could get back behind some of those waterfalls, and they were falling in front of you, and it was just a peaceful thing. You couldn't see anything, just water, and so we just pray for whoever that is crying right now, and Lord, watch over them. So we can have that peacefulness. The voice of the Lord. So I can imagine that David is in the wilderness right now, that he's in a cave, and there's a lightning storm. There's a huge rainstorm coming, and the clouds are rolling in, and the lightning's hitting and striking and thunder, and it's raining. And there's a mist that's coming, kind of like that rain today. And then and David just thinking, man, and he pens this psalm thinking of that time. you say, a deer give birth, verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. Do you know that when the barometer, when it rains or when there's storm, the barometer goes down or the barometer goes up? There is proof that there are more deer born. There are more babies born. They've done this. There was a significant increase in the number of deliveries and ruptures of the membranes at low barometric pressure. Although there was no scientific correlation between the onset of labor and the barometric pressure, the tendency was noted in both women with spontaneous rupture of the fetal membrane and those with premature rupture of the membrane when there was a large change in barometric pressure. Regardless of whether it was increasing or decreasing, the number of deliveries increased and the relationship was statistically significant. The Lord knew that. When was this psalm written? 3,000 years ago. This psalm was written 3,000 years ago. He knew that. When the barometric pressure goes, when it's raining, when there's a storm, there'll be more births. He knew that. It took probably hundreds of thousands of dollars and a 5-year study to figure that out. They should have just read Psalm 29. They would have figured it out, right? Verse 10, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. See, David doesn't say, I sit as king forever. He says, the King of King and the Lord of Lords sit as king forever. And I think this is a dual flood. I think he's speaking of the flood that's in front of him. You see these flash floods. You know, Kadesh was a very mountainous thing. And when rain comes and there's a lot of mountains, rain water rushes. And it causes a flash flood. I think he's looking at that and he's thinking, wow, Lord, I know your rainbow's there. I know your promise was not to flood the whole earth again. But it's flooding here in Kadesh while I'm sitting in this cave watching this. But I also think he's thinking of the flood with Noah when it was a global flood, and that he saved 8 people through his love, loving kindness, and through his mercy. So I think David speaks of both. Verse 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And as David so often does, he looks at what and how the Lord will provide strength and blessing for his people, not just for him, not just for him. And that's what I love about this church. We're not just about me, I. You know, I got me in my mind all day long. But, you know, our pastor cares about the shepherds. I mean, about the sheep. He cares about the sheep. And he calls them. And he prays for them. And he thinks about them. You know, and Donovan and I were on the phone today, and he was asking about a couple people, you know. Hey, I haven't seen this person. You see, I'm like, where's that guy Dave Foster? Where's he been, you know? Oh, he's sick. Oh, man, did you see Brian? We got to pray for him. You know, oh, we got an inspection. We got to pray for the inspection, you know. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. And so David always turns that. So when we're praying for ourselves, always remember, turn that prayer into for others. Pray for some other people and let them know that you love them, or let the Lord know that you love them, and he will lift them up and praise them. 8:29, this is the earliest I've ever finished preaching here. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and I just thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for these psalms. I thank you for what I've learned through them and with them, dear Lord. Thank you for your voice. I cry out to you, Lord, help me. Help me be a better dad, a better father, a better church guy, a better whatever I am, Lord. Wherever I am, whenever I am, dear Lord. Like Paul said, in whatever situation I'm in, help me to be like you, Lord. Examine me. Watch over me. Strengthen me. Help me, Lord. We just pray for this congregation. We pray for our another inspection tomorrow, I think it is. Just to have your favor even more on this church than you already have, Lord. Help us get that everything done that we need to get done. And may this be a sanctuary. May this be the house of the Lord. May people come here for protection. May they come here for love. May they come here for truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.